So the question is there any reason why Chazal use the different terms? Why don't they just have one term? Why do they use the three different terms? Okay? The word Sutton comes from the word Sitna. It means hatred. It means an adversary. That's what Sutton means. Sutton means it's the game, and the game, of course, Satan. I mean, that's a total, that's a pagan idea. But unfortunately, it affects many Jews also. The wrong idea. But the Sutton, the word Sutton is not a mystical term, because it's used in Tanakh, for instance, by Shlomo. So it says that Shlomo Melech, because he was not on the proper level that he should have been on, so God set up a Sutton for him. Who was the Sutton? A certain king that annoyed him. He had trouble with him. Sutton means it comes from the word Sitna, which means hatred, and it means an adversary. Anyway, it means a Sutton. Sutton means anything that's adversarial. It could be a person. It could be a lot of various different things. The question is, so now the question is, what are the three terms? Okay, so Malach. The reason why I have three terms is he's right. Maxim is right because it's three different effects. When you're talking about Yetzirah, you're talking about the instinctual part of man. That's Yetzirah. When you're talking about the Malach HaMavis, you're talking about man's, and the fact that man is affected by death. That is, he has a specific, the body decays, the body dies. Yeah, the body dies. So it's a property of the body. Malach HaMavis, okay? The fact that a person dies. It's two different things. But what Chazal is saying is that it comes from the same source, which means the reason why man dies is because he's physical and the instinctual part of his makeup stems from the physical. Okay? The instinctual part of his makeup stems from his physical nature. But of course, the important question is what is meant by the instinctual? By the instinctual man is different than the instinctual an animal, and one of the primary points that we've spoken about in the past, but it's important to remember, this is where Immanuel Kant made a big mistake, was that it becomes difficult to distinguish between what is the instinctual, what is not. For instance, man's sense that he's immortal, okay? So Immanuel Kant believed that proves that the soul exists. Just because where does this come from? The Yadis does not accept such a proof. The Yadis maintains, on the contrary, that man's sense of immortality, his illusion, his fantasy of immortality, is from the physical part of his nature. That's really from the physical part of his nature. That's the instinctual, but the instinctual goes under certain distortions because a person is a combination of a malach and a behemoth, which means there's an element in him which is eternal, and that combination causes the instinct to express itself in ways that animals do not have, in ways that an animal wouldn't have such an instinct. An animal cannot think of immortality. So Kant believed that you see there's something special in man. There's nothing special in man. It's special, it's unique to man, but it's not a part of his eternal makeup. It's a part of his instinctual makeup, which, when you take instinct and combine it with seichel, which realizes the person's going to die, so there's always a rational wheel that's turning free and teaches man that he's going to die. And then because of that knowledge and the instinctual desire for pleasure, the combination causes him to fear not to wish to have his pleasures extinguished, and he wishes to live forever. Of course, it's a logical mistake. I wrote a thing on that. I mean, some of you read the dialogue. It's a logical mistake because. Because in other words, logically, if you're not here, you're not going to lose the pleasure. But that is based on the fact that the person feels that he's always going to be here. And that's why death is frightening. Death is a horror to a person, because he thinks somehow he's going to survive the grave. So therefore, being down there seems like a horror. So the illusion is what causes the fear of death. The illusion of immortality. Illusion of mortality, really, but that stems from his instinctual nature, his narcissistic nature, his sense of omnipotence, which is a part of his instinctual nature. I'm not going to go into exactly how it works out, but that's an important principle. That's why the Rambam says in the Pirshei Mishnayos that man in this existence has no ruchnius kind of enjoyments, no enjoyment that we have in our experience is really of a spiritual nature. I mean, we don't have a mistake. People think that this is a ruchnius kind of enjoyment. It's not. There's no such thing as a ruchnius kind of enjoyment. We don't have those kind of enjoyments in this existence. Everything we have is a psychological enjoyment. The only thing we have of the soul is the function of the soul. Function, but not the attending enjoyment. So you have to be careful when you say instinctual, what exactly you mean by instinctual. And Yadus, the instinctual includes much more than the world understands it to mean. And it's a different kind of it's quite extensive. But that's the instinctual, and then you have the malachamovus, means the person's affected, the person is subject to death, which is affected, he's physical, again, it's his physical part of his nature. Sutton, of course, is a little more difficult to define. What exactly is meant by sutton? Because it would seem once you have the instinctual, then the fact that a person is subject to death, it would seem to cover all the bases. I mean, what is missing that you have to have the concept of Sutton for? What does Sutton fill in that's missing there? And you have both those things. It seems to cover everything. All right. Malach HaMavis means that part of you which is subject to death, because the physical is subject to corruption and death. So what is the, I mean, how the question is, how to Sutton for them? Yeah. Taisvis in Ervin, in Dachmem Malachan Bez, he quotes the Gemara in Eilam Agalchen. He says like this, he says, the Yetzahara, afagav the mashma beperek velo Magalchen, the pa'omim she yitzro misgabar alo ve'ene yochal lechofa. He says, the Gemara implies that sometimes a person, the Yetzahara, can gain such ascendancy over him that he can't control it. It's impossible for him to control it. So Taisa, of course, says, Mikom kam adam yochal yizor shelo yovle dekach, that a person has the ability to prevent such a state. But there are states, Chazal recognize there are states, where the person simply is helpless in the hands of the Yetzirah. I mean, he cannot do anything about it. He has no bechira, he's gone. The Taisva says that doesn't necessarily mean that he's not responsible, because he can prevent himself from reaching that state. By the way, Rabbi Sol Salanta says, Rabbi Sol Salanta, it's a Musar, Alpi Musar said, he mentioned the same idea, that the person is chayev for, the person is megari Yetzirah, so it brings himself to a state where the Yetzirah is overpowering. The Sol Salanta says he's chayav for bringing himself to that state. I mean, the Taisa says basically, same idea. Same thing. But the Chachmei Musa says the same thing. What? Yeah, so I mean, so Shmuel is saying that in such an instance, you would call it Sutton. I mean, is that what you're saying? No, it's Sutton is a variation of the Yetzirah, where it's so overpowering that it's viewed, it has a life of its own, so to speak. That's what you want to say. In other words, it's overpowering, completely controls you. It's, in other words, it's two, it's a different form of the Yetzirah, yeah? The Pasuk by Yev, it says, Yev Aleph Hei. So at the end of the Mea Mishter, so he called them together, and he brought Olos, numbers of the fan, numbers of the people in the family, Ki Amar Yev, Ulai Chotu Vonai Uverchol Akim Bovavam. Kocha Yasi Yev Kol Yamam. Why? Because He was afraid that there were chotim. And olos machaper, really. Olos a machaper, but olos, the difference between the kapara, the machaper of an ola, and the machaper of a chatas, is chatas is a specific chait, and ola is really for the, is a machaper for the Yetzirah, for the general tendencies of man that lead him astray. That's exactly what the pasuk says. It's in the beginning of a Yikra, you know what I mean? But it's exactly what the pasuk says. You think there's ulay vercho lekimbol vavam. I mean, in Yiv you have a big thing of birkas Hashem. Birkas Hashem. It means that because birkas Hashem is really a distorted relationship with God. It's more than just Yadis made a very big institution out of it. An institution of Issa. Birkas Hashem. It's even one of Shev Mitzvah. As it means to say that a person relates to God in an infantile way. So he gets angry at God. That's Bechol Kimbo Vavam. Because Birkas Hashem, you're not chayiv unless you're about to prepare. I mean, that's the halachic Birkas Hashem. But you see, you're still in terms of perfection. If a person is Borech Hashem Belibo, so he's also over. Because it means to say that he doesn't have the proper relationship with God. And he's angry at God. He's not makabel. His relationship with God is on an infantile level. So he says it's an interesting thing. That's basically what Eif did was he brought the kabbonis for that thing which is the most universal defect in man. So an interesting. That's kolal everything, because the wrong notion of God is what's responsible for. All of a person's averus. That's what Yadis holds, basically. That's the whole idea. The notion of God is the one idea which, if it's not correct, it's not accurate, results in all the and every kind of hate. It always involves a wrong notion of God. That's why in Tshuva you have on Hashem. On Hashem. On Hashem means because you have to return to the proper idea of God's brother. But anyways, it says, Vahiya yom vayavo b'nei holo kim l'syatzev al Hashem vayavo gam ha-satan b'socham. Okay. Yeah. So it says that Vayomer Hashem al Satan me'ayin tavo Vayan Satan es Hashem v'yom mishut ba'aretz u'mitzhalech ba. Vayomer Hashem al Satan asanto libcha avdi Iyov ki ein kamo ba'aretz ish tam v'yoshev Yisrael l'kim v'samara. Vayan Satan es Hashem v'yom hachinam yore Iyov l'kim. Hello, atasachta bado vad beso vad kol hashalom misoviv masa yada berachto mikneo poratz boratz vulam shlachna yodcho v'ga b'chol hashalom im lo al ponecho yivorcheko v'yom ha'ashem al asot mihine kol hashalom b'yadecho rak elov al tishlach yadecho v'yetze asot mihim p'nei Hashem. So what is the allegory? What is that? That a person experiences in life which are not a result of his instincts. Okay, in other words, in life you have basically two things that cause problems. One is the internal life of man, that's the instinctual, that destroys him. But there's another area that destroys man, and that is the area of the area of the imperfection in the physical. Okay, disease, sickness, various things that occur, external circumstances with regard to the person, famine. I mean, all the defects of a person's environment. The physical defects that affect his life in a negative way, you see, is really something else. The other thing that a person has to encounter in his life. I mean, a person in his life has to encounter two things. One is an external world which has defects and affects him, and the other is an internal world. Which is the instinctual world that also can destroy him. Okay, the two destructive forces in man that man encounters. Okay, excuse me. Now, yeah. So we say, you know, one second. Yetzirah is the instinctual part of man that's destructive. But Satan, that's what I believe Ram saying. That's why he says, where God says, where do you come from, the Satan? So the Satan answers, Me'eshalech ba'aretz u'mishutba. It means he comes from the environment, the physical environment. You see, that's why the Satan is the one that says to God that Eov is a wonderful person, but that's because Berachtoso, you gave him all the good circumstances. You gave him all the good circumstances. Everything is positive that surrounds him. So he doesn't have any problem in living a perfected life. But if you take that away, that's exactly what the mashal is saying, basically. If you take that away, it means that's the mashal. The Satan is not a personality, but the Satan is being used as a mashal. It means to say that if he would suffer defects in his environment, you see, and external problems, there's stress that's caused by man's internal nature. Person can have everything he really should want, or thinks he wants, and he's under stress. That's internal. But there are stressful situations that are resulting from external situations. Person's sick, children are sick, there's different various problems, they can't make a living, various things that the external world, the difficulties of the external world, that's what's called the adversary. It's an adversary. So Yadus recognizes that as a separate compartment, separate type of difficulty. That's the whole story of Eov, is how to deal with that component. The Yetzer Hara, the instinctual life of man, the whole Torah tells you how to deal with it. That's called the Torah, tells you how to deal with instinctual life of man. What do you do with the other thing, which you have no control over, basically? You don't have any control over external circumstances. How does man deal with that? That's Sefer Eov. That's really Sefer Eov. When the external circumstances are untoward, when they're negative against man, and that's why it's perceived as an adversary, and it's perceived as something external, because it is external to man. But the question is, how does man cope? Yadda saw that as a big, big dilemma, big question. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu wrote the whole Sefer Eov, basically about that problem. That's a problem that requires a different kind of analysis than the problem of the internal struggle with the instincts. That's the problem of suffering. That's the problem of the suffering.
Really?
Yeah.
So
now the question is, yes, go ahead. Yeah, that is true. That is true. He's right. He's basically right. And the Gemara talks about the HR as it calls a suffering also. Calls it something else. That's a separate problem. But let's see what the three are. Let's see. Hold that on for a second. Yeah. So what is the... So the question is, I'm sorry. Yeah. Okay. All right. All we said basically is that the Chazal really established three components, which they stated this is what man is involved in doing. There's three challenges, basically. He has the external world to deal with, he has his own internal world, the instinctual world, and also he has to face his own mortality. That's Sefer Kehelis, is mortality. Sefer Eov is the external world, and Kol HaTorah Kula is basically how a person should work with his instinctual makeup. Those are the three areas of life. Mortality is really a major area. As a matter of fact, as I said, most things, in my opinion, most problems that people face are simply distractions from the fear of their own mortality. That's the greatest fear. A person to face his death and not be able, when a person faces his death, he realizes that his abilities are, everything he has is, it's like the Rav one time said. The Rav one time said, when you go to Levaya, he says, not so much when you're going to die. He says, that's hard to take, but he said very nicely, he said, What's difficult at a Levite, he says, is the fact that you see the worthlessness of man. The worthlessness. He said, yesterday this guy had the same kind of dreams that I have, or some kind of aspirations. And today? In other words, there's a deeper concept here. A plain person is afraid of dying. That's a low level. A person that sees a little deeper in terms of his psyche, the fear of death is really the fear of the worthlessness of human existence. Because you see, all the aspirations and everything one day doesn't mean a thing, or won't be a trace left. That's really, you see, when we speak of, it's an interesting thing, but you see, when you speak about humility, true humility means that a person has come to grips with his own fears of mortality. That's why you say, "Nafshi ke'ofa lakol kia." Nafshi ke'ofa lakol. What's ke'ofa? Ofa means death. Ke'ofa atav alafatosha. That's the ke'ofa means mortal. So you see that is no doubt the biggest challenge. But you can't summarize everything to that challenge. I mean, the other fronts are equally equally important. But that's what Yad just did. It really expressed in Sutton, Yetzirah and Malach HaMavis. It gave the whole panorama of human existence, the human struggle. Those three areas. That's what Yad just did. Now the question, of course, is the question. Tani raised is that Chazal sometimes do use Sutton literally to mean instinctual, okay? Like the Gemara in Kedushin. What the Gemara means, if a person allows the fantasy life to keep on being activated, then it has a certain permanent effect, and then that's it for the rest of his life. He's plagued by that. That's what the Gemara says. That's what Chazal says. It's an interesting thing. So it says, Amar Chista Haida Difna Mechavoy Den Nesivno Bishitzar Viyav Nesivno Barbisar Yizunav Amina L'Sotni Gira Beinecha. Okay, Kloma Yisim Is Garabo V'Sotni Yitzar V'Lo Ira Sheyachtieni. Okay. Yeah. It is true that what? That the Sotni, that the Gemara uses the term Sotni interchangeably. That's a different concept. That sometimes the Gemara uses Sotni it depicts the Sutton as an external entity. I agree with Shmuley on that. That when Chazal do that, what they're saying is that a certain amount, it's in a case where the instincts are under your control, so then it's called Yetzirah. But where the instinct is something which is uncontrollable, it's out of your koch habechira, so then it's viewed as an objective kind of a thing, like an objective circumstance. It becomes a circumstance. Sutton is really the circumstances which you have no control over. So over here, the Gemara is exact, it's precise. Havamina la sutton girabeinacho. Because the Gemara is saying that if you don't take care of the Yetzirah at an early age, so he's going to affect you for the rest of your life, which means basically you're a victim of circumstance. So the Yetzirah becomes a circumstance. So then it uses the word sucking. Then it uses the word sucking. Okay? Because it makes no difference really whether it's an external circumstance or an internal one. If it's something that's not under your control, it's circumstantial. So that's what the Gemara means. That's why it's interchangeable. That's why it's interchangeable. But in its basic meaning, it refers to circumstantial adversary. Okay? Larvevas a Sutton fits in very nicely. It means to say that a Rosh Hashanah, before Tkiyas Shofar, there's not enough time for a person to really perfect himself that quickly, but he wants to do Tkiyas Shofar properly. So it means to say that a person should try various means to escape momentarily the effects of his instincts. You see, escape momentarily the effects of his instincts. That's a principle of Yadis. Yadis really is a principle. And the Yadis maintains that even though a person can't perfect himself, but he should, like what does the Rambam say? The Rambam says that a person before tefillah, yaser kol machshavosav, vosav, and he put himself in a certain state that the satan shouldn't affect him, basically. That's what he's saying. It means to say he puts himself in a certain state that certain parts of his nature which are unruly, which he hasn't really perfected himself, that those parts are under control, but he should get them out of the way, at least temporarily, so that he can involve himself in a performance which will raise him to a higher level. I mean, you have to... Yeah, that's what Chazal say, that you have to work, a person has to be a chacham with working with the Yetzer. Sometimes you have to just simply push him out of the way, and sometimes you have to approach him directly. Depends on the circumstance. You have to know when to do or what. I mean, well, you know, sometimes it's not a time for... a person has to daven mincha. It's not a time to do tshuva and get rid of the Yetzer. I mean, not that they'll do it. So then you have a different method. You remove yourself from the emotions. You remove yourself from the circumstance, which is distracting, in order that the person can perform a mitzvah in the proper manner. You have to know which means of attack to use, which time. You have to, the person has to be a chacham. Okay? But that's really, that's the serving others. I mean, that's the you don't always use the same methods. You have to know when to use different methods. That's what it means by cross sutton, by the, it means to say that, la'arve that's a sutton. It means to say that the tkiyas shofar has an emotional effect on the audience, that they're about to daven shmaina esrei, tfilas amusof, tfilas amusof about daven, and they're going to blow tkiyas in the shmaina esrei. But it's in order that there should be a value in the tkiyas should create should have the proper effect, because Tzkiyas really, Tzkiyas are part of tshuva, so therefore it's appropriate to have Tzkiyas before Musaf, because Tzkiyas do have an effect on a person. The person has the Tzkiyas, the audience has Tzkiyas, it affects their mind, it puts them in a different state. See, it's true. People hear Tzkiyas, it's a different thing. It affects, if you notice on Rosh Hashanah, you'll notice after the Tzkiyas, the people are not the same as they were before the Tzkiyas. They're different, it's like a silence descends on the audience, the people like, sense are serious, they're in a serious state. That's really what it means. It means to confuse the satan means. Now when they mispalel, so the tefillah will be in a different frame of mind. Kiyas has that effect on a person. So that's why Chazal instituted kiyas in the yusha. You shouldn't just get up to daven. Get up to daven, they're going to stop wanting kiyas. This guy will be talking, that guy will be this, involved, and he can get himself out of his ordinary mental framework. But the tkiyas, the miyushev, set the stage for the person's kavaneh in tfilas musaf, so that he could, when he hears the tkiyas, and the tkiyas, I mean, the tkiyas with the brachais, it has a different effect on him. You see, it's true. That's actually, I mean, experientially, you could sense it. You see, it's different. I mean, not just yourself, but you see the mind, you could observe it, really, in people. B'shas tefillah and Rosh Hashanah, that the tkiyas and miyusha really set the stage. That's what it means, that the tkiyas are, that's what it means. Pushes them, it doesn't defeat them, it simply pushes them away. Pushes him away momentarily. So he uses the word la'arve. It means like to confuse him. Confuses him, knocks him off temporarily. That's what it means. That's why it's sutton, exactly. Because sutton over there means that at that moment, insofar as those emotions are concerned, you're a victim of circumstance. So therefore the term sutton is used. Sutton means an adversarial circumstance. It could be from the internal, where the internal is unruly, not under control. So then we simply call it we refer to it as an external circumstance. Okay. There's one thing I'd add. The question is a good question. How does the Torah defeat the satan? Like, you see how it defeats the Yetzer Hara, but how does it defeat the satan? But the answer is very simple. The answer is because Yadus recognizes that really the satan gets to a person via the Yetzer Hara. You understand what I mean? In other words, the satan, the external circumstances, when they are unfavorable, it's not really the circumstances, usually. I mean, you can't say always. There's certain really horrible circumstances. But generally speaking, and the Rambam makes this point in the Gemara. And generally speaking, he keeps on saying, generally speaking, life is good. And generally speaking, his life is good. So the thing is that the way the person is defeated by the Satan is usually 90%. It's because of his own Yetzer Hara. In other words, the Yetzer Hara is brought into a certain state because of the Satan. So Satan and Yetzer Hara really interact. That's really a major point in the philosophy of Yadis, that you cannot just isolate the Satan. You can't isolate him. It starts from there, but once it gets started, the major effect it has on your life is how you deal with it. And that's because the Yetzer, the Satan is Gora, the Yetzer Hara. It relates, you can't really draw a line and say this is Satan and this is Yetzer Hara. Satan and Yetzer Hara interact. The person is poor, becomes poor. So, I mean, what does the Gemara say? Klumwa Yisa Anika Hillel. I mean, Hillel was also very poor, but it didn't affect him. So the Satan didn't affect him. So that's because the Satan gets the person through the Yetzer Hara. That's what the Rambam really points it out. That the two are very closely related. People mistake many times, they make a mistake, and it could be that's what Chazal meant when they said Zusat and Zuyetzer Zamachon. It means to say that they're identical, and people look at them, make a mistake, they don't realize that they interact. It's a net effect, which is true. And the same thing in Malachamavas. That's the person's recognition of the fact that his immortality is a fantasy, you see, is something which affects him, and that it's a cumulative effect. That plus bad circumstances, plus his emotional desires, has a net effect on a person. You can't isolate. And that's why it's Zusat and Zuyetzer Zumal Hamavas means also that it has a net effect. It's a net effect. And I can't isolate them. You really can't isolate them. They're looking at them as separate entities, but the truth of my ear, right? External circumstances, but internal. You know, Rashi means is. Rashi means, the question is, what does it mean by Uranus Yeshua Kain Gadol in Zachariah Gimel? Omed Lefnei Malach Hashem, Vasat Nomed Al Yemino Lesitno. So what's that got to do? Before it's talking about the ultimate benefit. Running the Sinchi Basiyon, Kimi Vala Shechanti Besach Vino Hashem. So that's Yeshua, Kain and Gadol, Lomel Fnei Malach Hashem. Vasat Nomel Al Yemino Sitno. So Rashi says it means because Yeshua, the Kain Gadol, from his kids married Gayim. So what does it mean? It means to say like this. It means to say, so that was the Satan. In other words, the Satan was that the people will say that the Simcha can't be complete because you see that the Kohen Gadol himself has a defect because his kids are married to Nachrios. So that will blur the whole Simcha. You understand what I mean? So therefore the Pasuk says no. That V'yama Hashem al-Satan Yiga Hashem b'chol Satan V'yiga Hashem b'chol b'chol Shalayim. So Rashi says that Shelo tikonis lefonav lekatreg ala tzadik hazeh. Hallo Royu Vizakalakasha Hutso Meesha Srefa. It means to say that in Yemosa Mashiach, that in the time of Yemosa Mashiach, that things that went wrong in the life of the tzaddik, people recognize that it's not a blemish. It's not a blemish for the tzaddik. And now that's not the case because there's guilt by association. So in other words, it's guilt by association. So it means to say that the gula cannot be complete unless there's a recognition of certain individuals as great tzaddikim. But this recognition is tainted by the fact that his offspring are defective. So that's something which prevents man from recognizing the tzaddik, and it makes the gula impossible. But it means to say, but what the pasuk is saying is that at that time the people will recognize that this is really something external. It's not really part of it. It's not the tzaddik's fault. You see, they'll recognize that it's not a, you cannot blame the tzaddik. It doesn't taint him. It's not a blemish in any way. And the reason why this happened was because of the bechira of his kids, but it's not his fault. You see, that's why it's called satan over here, because it's something external to the tzaddik. It's not really him. It's not really him. It means that according to the rest of Rashi saying. So it means that's right. Bekolam al teichad kivodi. That's right. Not me. That's right. It's not me. It's not my fault. It's not my fault. That's exactly what I mean. That's right. It's not my fault. It's true they're my offspring, but it's not my chasar. So it means to say that Yemosa Mashiach, then in order to have Yemosa Mashiach, that the gula should be complete, has to be the recognition of tzaddikim. But if the tzaddik is tainted, so then there's no, there can't be any real gula. There's no simcha. There's no representative of the true way of life. So that's what the prophet says. At that time, people will recognize that's not his fault. It will not be a blemish. And they'll recognize that it may look like it's his fault, but it's really external completely. That's why it's called tzaddik. It's external to the tzaddik. That's what I mean. It's in a man's life. It removes man from avodah zarah. That's the tkiyus in el, is all to remove avodah zarah. It's a different function. It's a different camp.
That's what they made up the Torah.
Yeah, so they say, what? Right, yeah, right. So why do they believe that parak in Tanakh? I don't know. Why? Because it falls in line with anything. They're going to believe anything that falls in line with their theory. Okay? So he says it is. So they made up Deuteronomy. Okay, now, Yoshio made up the whole Deuteronomy, which never existed before. Now, people have to be awfully stupid to believe a king's just going to come out and just going to get, and these people are totally gullible, they're going to believe, never heard any of these things before, whole sefer drama, and everybody's going to believe it. Okay? And what do they say over there? Bamakom asher yivchar. That he wanted to say, Yoshio wanted to buy Yerushalayim, so therefore he wanted to, as they said, makom asher yivchar. That's the simple question. If the people are so gullible, why didn't he say Yerushalayim? Why did he say makom asher yivchar? Why didn't he say Yerushalayim? He said Jerusalem. You mention the place. You want Malcolm Mashiach is kind of a vague reference. If you want to really, if these people are going to believe you, a whole book, I would put in Jerusalem in there. That this is the place. This is stupid. Of course, say 34 times is mentioned in these Bible scholars. 34 times is mentioned in Malcolm Mashiach. So what does that prove? Ah, that proves the whole book revolves around this one thing. What about all the halachas and the, what do you call it? All the halachas and shofts and the kisaytzeh? Nah, that's nothing. This is the main thing. Of course, why does it say Malkam HaShiach? Because Dvarim is kodim kinis loretz. Of course it's Dvarim. But anyways, okay. Yeah, it's nothing. That's not going to make anybody not be careless. It's anything to make them a maimon. Okay. So, it's harmless stuff. But, basically it's stupidity. I think anybody with a brain can see through. Okay, so we're supposed to, what we discussed, I don't want to take up, and that is, but there's one thing I wanted to mention. I mean, if you notice, I circulated a dialogue on the mysticism, okay? I want to explain something to you about the mystical. I understand there's been some talk in Yeshiva about certain Rishonim believed in astrology and mystical powers. There's something that I want you to know about this, and I think that everyone should understand this very carefully. I mean, there are no two shittas here. I mean, you have to understand something. And that is that every Rishon agrees. The Ramban is considered the Rosh and the Kabbalah. Okay? And there are two systems. There is a system of, a Kabbalistic system, Ramban held from. But I want you to understand something, and that is that every Rishon, the Ramban, Baroshan maintains that you never deny scientific knowledge. Denial of Chachma, of scientific knowledge, is a denial of Torah. Every Rishon, Kabbalist, Nakab, doesn't make any difference. But that is a basic issue. The Ramban says it. Do we have drushes around here? Do you have the drushes around? Do you have the drushes around? I'm talking about the rainbow. The Ramban mentions that from Pshuta Shel Mikra would appear that the rainbow came into existence in the time of Noach. And the Ramban says, Al Kochino, we must accept the knowledge, the scientific knowledge, which proves that the rainbow is a natural phenomenon. Okay? So that's the Ramban, that's the Ramban, the Rosh and the Kabbalah. That we never, no Rishon ever denied scientific knowledge. He says the Greeks show that the rainbow is really, it's a light phenomenon. You can have it take place in a pail of water. It has nothing to do, it's from Sheshem Ebreshis. It cannot have been created in the time of the Mabul, because it's a phenomenon that has to do with light and the way light is broken up into components when it goes into prisms, when it goes through various mediums. Okay? So that's precisely what it is. And anyone that thinks otherwise is just nonsensical, because we never deny scientific knowledge. This is Yesod HaDos. See, so I'm going to show you what the importance of this Yesod is and why it is a Yesod HaDos. But I want to tell you right away that every Rishon, Mekubal or otherwise, if he held from Kabbalah, like the Ramban himself is the Rosh on the Kabbalah, like the Rav always said, and he himself states that once you know something scientifically to be correct, you never deny it. That's against the whole Torah. It's against the whole Kiyuchach Maschem of Winaschem La'ini Amad, means that the Sefer Torah is Sefer of Chachma. You can't deny Chachma. It's denial of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, because all Chachma comes from a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Okay, that's one premise I want to make 100% clear. There's no machlokas about that whatsoever. Okay? So whatever you hear, there's two views, I'm just telling you this fundamental principle. That there are no two views on this matter. And that is that there is no one that ever denies Chachma. If you deny Chachma, you're denying Yesod HaDos. Yes. Yeah, it's in the Ramban and the Chumash, but he quotes them, and I'm quoting from Drush HaSaran. It's on page 9, Tess, in Drush HaSaran. V'zeh winyan akeshes, ki in sofek, shezeh hamara hu poel tivi. It's a natural phenomenon. Me'akos nitzus hashemesh ba'avir alach. It's from the contact, the light making contact with water vapor. Kmo shomer Ramban, she'al kochinu yesh lanu lahodos bazeh ledivrei hafilosofia hayavonis. This is the Ramban, the Rosh HaMekubalim. Ki hu inyan muchash. It's something which we could see. V'lo nucha lahakfish achush. We can't deny your reality. Okay? So then, alright, so then he goes to what the Kesh says. The Ramban says in the contrary, the Pasuk was very careful in this lesson. It says it's Kashti not Stati already in the past, Lashon Hara. But anyways, that's the Ramban, the Rosh HaMekubalim, and no one ever thought of denying Chachma. Denying Chachma is a denial of the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Because denying Chachma is a Shem. That's what it is. And I'm going to show you Gemara and Avodah Zarah exactly why, basically, a denial of Chachma is tantamount to Avodah Zarah in Yahadis. And one of the Yesod HaDos is the acceptance of the natural law. The Yesod HaDos. I'm going to show it to you. But what I want to say is like this. That based upon that, certain things which people say, are true because they find them written in the writings of some Chachonim, okay, are absolutely false. I'm talking about, for instance, astrology. Okay, let me just take astrology. There are no two views today on astrology. If you say there are two views on astrology, you don't know what you're talking about. Okay? Now, the Rambam in his letter to Marseille states that astrology can be disproven with beyond the shadow of a doubt through logic. That's what the Rambam says. Okay? Now, we don't know what the logical proofs were. He doesn't expand on it, what the logical proofs were. Okay? But the thing is like this, that I just want you to know that in today, with the knowledge we have today of the universe, and the knowledge of the universe has increased unbelievably since the time of the, since the medieval period. Anyone that doesn't believe that just doesn't have their eyes in his head, just doesn't know what's going on in the world, whether it's science. But obviously, even a fool knows that the increase in knowledge in the sciences has been unbelievable in the past centuries, okay, especially the past century too. I mean, amazing. But if you just deny this, you're denying the Chush, like the Ramban says, okay? Now, all the ideas of astrology, if you know anything about them, are based on a concept of a universe that just doesn't exist. It just doesn't exist. It's completely false. Because the facts of the universe that they thought were facts are not facts, and are not true, okay? Their concept, in those days, they thought the universe does not extend beyond what they called the fixed stars. Okay, certain visible stars. That isn't even one billionth of the universe. Let alone the universe. Okay? With telescopes, our galaxy, the galaxies alone with billions and billions of stars. Okay, the only thing you can see with the naked eye is like some 2,000 stars. Okay? So our galaxy alone is, it makes these stars like infinitesimal. I wouldn't even call it a drop in the ocean. Okay. Now, with telescopes, we know that telescopes can see about 1 million of these galaxies. Okay, and the estimated amount of galaxies, I believe, is a billion or something. A billion? I don't know exactly. No, I'm not the exact number, but you're talking about a universe that the ancients never even imagined. They thought these fixed stars that they see is the whole universe, and that these stars are in specific positions and places in the universe, and they are affecting, these stars, somehow or other, affect life on this planet. I mean, just given the size of the universe alone, the whole idea, all the ideas are completely absurd. Absurd. I mean, it's like ridiculous. They would never say it themselves. They know what the extent of the universe. Why these stars? These stars are not different than billions and billions of other stars in millions and billions of galaxies. Okay, it's like ridiculous. But that's all they could see. So they had this whole idea of place in the universe. There's no such thing as place in the universe, anyways. Place is an old concept. It doesn't exist. There's no such thing as place. If you understand a little bit about relativity, there's no such thing as a place in the universe. That was an ancient idea, that there's such thing as place, makom, like a place. These stars are in these places, and from their place, they have some kind of influence on it. It's silly. Anyone that just knows the basic facts of astronomy today, a little bit of astrophysics, you know, the whole thing is absurd. So anyone that believes it today is simply denying science, which is denying Chachma, which the Ramban himself says would be a complete fool, okay? Now, with regard to the other things like Shadim and things like that, okay, again, the knowledge that we have currently would absolutely disprove any kind of a thing, any kind of belief in these things. Because the people that believed in these things, they didn't believe they evaporate when you're not visible, and that wherever you're going to go try to find them, they're not there. They thought there was a large part of the earth that was simply unexplored, and they believed that they exist in these places. If you really went to these places, you'd see them there, these remote deserts and things like that. But we know today that we know the entire earth, and there is no such thing, just like if a person will maintain that Gan Eden is somewhere on this planet. Okay, there are statements like that, but someone who believes that today has got to be out of his mind, got to be crazy, because we know the entire planet. And there's no such place like that, okay? So, the same thing is true of many of these beliefs. Modern science has shown clearly that it will be no different than the case of the rainbow, where a person, like the Ramban says, you can't be machish that which is known, that which is knowledge. So knowledge dictates that these things today we know do not exist, all right? Same thing with magic and sorcery. Today, any person that believes that there are really powers, or that Egyptians had powers, and there's powers, there are magical, mystical powers, would as absolutely considered a fool in today's world. Okay? Because no chacham really believes this. And the pasuk says, ki chachmaschem uvinaschem le'enei amen. The Rambam says in the Pirush Mishnayos, that's the barometer of Torah. That if people, if chachamim, do not recognize you as being wise and intelligent, so then you know that's not Torah. That's it. No chacham today would a person who is considered a chacham would believe in this kind of nonsense. And every chacham knows that it's totally nonsensical, and these things have been disproven again and again, and all these things that people do, these tricks that they do with the bending metals and things, any good magician knows that these things are done through specific means where there are ways of fooling people, even scientists you can fool, because nature doesn't work. The scientist studies nature. Nature doesn't try to fool you. It's not deceitful. Man is deceitful. So a scientist always looks honestly, because, you know, nature's not deceitful, so he's trying to... But a person can fool a great scientist. Great scientists have been fooled in these areas because they just don't think that way. But you take a magician, he'll figure it out in 2 seconds. That's why the amazing Randy is what I hold. He does big mitzvah. Because that's precisely what he does. He just doesn't want people to believe in these crazy things. And he challenges any one of these guys that claims they have mystical powers. He challenges them, and he shows exactly what they're doing. He doesn't want to give away all the tricks, but he shows he has done a lot. You know, bending the metals and the things. This is all nonsense. It's like the Rambam says, these are things that people use to fool other people, to control them. It was a tremendous source of power in the mystical primitive mind. Today, people's mind is still primitive and mystical, because you see, people will not live on the 13th floor, because it's the number 1 and 3, two Arabic numerals appear there. So people today are really the same mindset. They're a little more sophisticated. I mean, progress has done something. But nevertheless, the primitive element is still there to a great degree. And these things were used in days before they had the advance of science. These things were used to control the people. Balatayim. Balatayim means in their secret... Balatayim, it says. Balatayim means their secret practices. Their secret practices, because that's the whole thing, thrives on secrecy. They don't expose what they're doing to the masses. And they would use it, and probably believe a lot of it themselves also. You know, a person starts doing these crazy things, start believing. But but the fact is that these things were used, and anyone that studies magic knows that these are tricks. I remember what's his name, and it's fraud, it's all fraud. Who was the Israeli guy? Uri Geller. So he was bending these spoons and he's getting these watches to work. So they showed him. The amazing thing, he had him on top of it. He showed, he did the exact same thing. So he was exposed. He became nothing. At one point, he was like, but the people are always looking for this. I'll get back to that also. But the thing is, so finally he was exposed and So finally, with Yuri Geller, when it was shown up that all these things could be reproduced, what was his answer? Oh, it's true, it could be reproduced, but I do it through magic. Mm-hmm. He's mamish. A person like that is really, that's the issa deraisa of trying to convince people that things work that way. And Randy really has a mitzvah, because he reveals these things in his shows, exactly what they're doing. And this is the issue. It's like the Rambam says, all these things were used to take people, deceive people, and take them away from a searching for the truth. Now, this is what I want to tell you. There's a couple of more points that I want to make that are extremely important. One is that you see the fact that people are very prone, are always looking for this kind of a belief system, belief structure. That shows you that this comes from man's fantasy and imagination. And if you study psychology properly, you'll see exactly where all these emotions come from. Okay? So therefore, the mystical approach, which is based first on a denial of the external world, the chachma of the external world. Second, it conforms precisely to the world of the imagination, the internal world, which cannot be a coincidence that these things that the people are looking for, you see, they're just dying for these things to be true, all right? And now you're going to tell me that you immediately should be suspect, even if you saw, if you see something that falls in line with that emotion, immediately you should be suspect, because that would be a strange coincidence, you see? Although not a disproof. But now that you see it's disproven, you see this is what man wants to believe in spite of rationality. He's always trying to believe in that, okay? So you see clearly this is precisely something. Commitment to this part of man is commitment to ignorance and commitment to a desire to return to the primitive, which is kineged kolatar kolat, which every rishon will admit. There's no machlokas about that. I mean, no machlokas about that whatsoever. Every rishon will admit that. Now, it's not a debated point, okay? So therefore, what I want to say is that the Kabbalistic systems, because now I'm not denying that the Ramban had a different system than the Rambam. There's no question about it. But what I am saying to you is this, that no one knows what that system was, all right? No one knows what that system was, okay? And the in terms of therefore, and the Ramban himself says, if you don't have a Rebbe, you won't know what it is, and we'll be able to figure it out, okay? That's what Ramban says. So what I want to tell you is this, that anyone that raises the banner of the Ramban doesn't know what he's talking about. Because that's not, the Ramban was not a mystic the way these people are. These people, the mysticism that they have is just primitivism. That's it. Because reality, you see, when you show them the reality, they're not too happy to hear this. When you show them the scientific proofs, they're not too happy to hear this. So that means they're driven by a primitive streak, which is the source of all of Avodah Zarah. And that is, and they hold up the banner of the Ramban because they think they see certain things in the Ramban would conform to their primitive notions. But I tell you, the Ramban's mind was nothing like theirs. Nothing whatsoever. No sheikhs whatsoever. The Ramban system was a completely intellectual system, and they have just found accidental features that conform to their imagination, which they think, they don't even understand the accidental feature, but which they think conforms to their imagination, and therefore they hold up the banner of the Ramban. No sheikhs. Ramban, if the Ramban saw these people, we consider them on the border of Avodah Zarah. There's no question about it. Ramban was the first person, I showed you from Ramban himself, that they never deny Chachmas Olam. I mean, the denial of Chachmas Olam is ipso facto a denial of the others. He's denying Sinai. Okay. So, for all intents and purposes, therefore, based upon the knowledge that we have, there is nothing that should be of any, that should be a machlokas, that should remain a machlokas in a person's mind, whether these things exist or whether they don't exist. These could be questionable things in past generations where we didn't know, so we didn't have knowledge, but today's world, the denial of knowledge, anything, any idea, you have to ask yourself, the Rambam has this barometer, it's a pasuk in the Torah, no one denies this either. Any idea which, if you presented in front of a group of intelligent people, the scientific community, and they would laugh at it, and they would say they would mock it, okay, because it is stupid, then you know that that's not Torah, you're off the course, okay? That's what I'm telling you. It is a waste of time. It's like the Rambam wrote in the letter to Marseille. When they asked him these type of questions about Chazal and about astrology and things like that, the Rambam gave one answer. He said, it is not the correct method, if you want to understand the truth, to go looking and finding that truth in a Chazal when you know through your own mind and your own senses that this is the way it is. So it's just an absolute waste of time. That's what I'm telling you. That anyone, that's exactly what the Rambam says. He says, what is our Amunah? Our Amunah is in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Our Amunah is in the natural law that he created. Our Amunah is in the Chachmas HaTorah, the infinite Chachmas HaShem. That's what our Amunah is. And if we see something that we know is false, I don't care where you find written. That's it. It can't be. It's impossible. It's nonsense. The question is, that's what the Rambam says. He says, you'll show me a Chazal. Are you interested in reality, or are you interested in this statement? The reality is God's world. That's telling you to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay? This statement is only a vehicle to get you to that. But this is essential. So therefore, what you're doing is, you're abandoning HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world, and you're saying you're going to follow what you think the implication of the statement is, which is connected to all Chachma. Okay? So I don't care how many statements you have, it doesn't make it. That's what the Rambam wrote to the people of Marseille when they said to him, but there are Chazal that indicate that astrology is true. is I want you to know a basic premise. And that has to do with Emunah B'Kadosh Baruch Hu. Do you believe in the God of the universe and his laws? Is that a premise? And your mind and your chachma? If that's your premise, then this is it. If I could show you scientifically that the atom is splittable. You're going to find the Maimar Chazal. This is it. You want to deny, then deny your eyes, deny your senses, deny your chachma, and then that's it. That's the end of everything. Okay? So that's what the Rambam is. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. But there's a kind of person that's always troubled with a Maimar from a chacham that he doesn't understand, that he thinks doesn't fit into philosophy, into reality. Yeah, such a person has to learn that these things shouldn't bother them. Okay? That's it. That's what they have to learn. And if they don't learn it, then it shows you that their belief system is based upon people, not upon a Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's what it really shows. It's a belief system based upon people, not based upon a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Our belief system is based upon a Kadosh Baruch Hu. People make mistakes. But a Kadosh Baruch Hu's world is perfect and expresses infinite chachma. That's our belief. People make mistakes. That's what the Rambam says. It's irrelevant, but there are people that can't get their minds off of certain, like, superego figures. They're attached, and therefore they're always in some kind of a conflict, you see? But Yad is the man that you rise above that, and that you see Chochmas Hashem, and that's what you should be attached to. That's it. So you have a kasha. I don't know. What's the difference? Do we know what the truth is? You should be happy with the truth. Be happy with the truth. Hashemayim esaprim klokel. The truth, you see, you enjoy the truth. One statement is not true? Well, obviously the statement, well, I don't know. You want to know whether he thought that? It's a waste of time. What's the difference? Yeah, Ram says. It could be, was a divrei yachid. It could be his divrei yachid. It was a mistake in the words of a yachid. Okay? There are many, many words. Why do we, Hillel said there's never going to be a Mashiach. That's it. So Hillel in the Gemara says, and Sanhedrin says there's never going to be a Mashiach, because Mashiach came with Chizkiyah, that was Mashiach already. Okay, Gemara says Sanhedrin. So, does that bother you? Does it bother you? Shouldn't. Okay? These things, Yad just demands a very sophisticated, I mean, I know it's a very sophisticated level of a belief system, it's a different kind of a belief system, but it's a belief in reality, in the source of reality, which is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And no matter what people say, and no matter who they were, if it's wrong, we know that it's wrong, so be happy with the truth. What did this guy mean? What difference does it make? What difference does it make to you? If you could look at it, and you could think, and it can express a good idea, a true idea, then it's good, because then you've learned an idea that's true. You understand what I mean? And if you can't, so that's it. What difference does it make to you? What are you, a historian? A historian of individuals? Let a Kadosh Baruch Hu judge the individuals that there. Not you. It's not your business to judge them. Okay? That's it. Period.
Yeah.
It's based on the premise they want to say that there's an infallibility in the Bali HaMasorah. First of all, we don't believe in it. But I want to tell you, I mean, for instance, the Rambam's astronomy was the astronomy before Galileo. Okay? It was before Galileo's astronomy. You didn't know the Rambam, the concept of inertia was not developed at that time. Okay, so the Rambam's Rambam, what the Rambam thought was Yad Hashem expressed directly in terms of the universe was not. It was a mistake. So what? So what does that have to do with anything? It has to do with the system of Torah. No one ever maintained that at Sinai we got science, I mean, we got relativity. Kadosh Baruch wasn't that generous. He only gave us a system of philosophy and principles of psychology and derech hachayim and mitzvahs, and he didn't give us sciences. That wasn't part of the plan. Okay, that's man. That man was given the ability to uncover the chesua, to uncover scientific knowledge throughout the generation. It wasn't given at Sinai. So if the Rambam was operating on a science that's obsolete, so he was wrong. So what? What's it got to do with it? But what's it got to do with it? What are you looking for? An infallible person? Is that what you're looking for? Then I say you're not looking for a Kadosh Baruch Hu. If that's the case, you're not looking for a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So you're looking to believe in people. So then you'd stand against the Yisrael Yadas. All right? That's what the word Shedai. Shedai b'malchuso l'kol baya. The Ribbono Shel Olam is enough for us. That's it. Don't need anybody else. Yeah. No. There aren't erroneous No, you're making a mistake because you're talking about... No. You don't understand it. I'm telling you, it is not a simple thing. These were not simple people. They were brilliant minds. You don't understand why he concluded that way. I explained that one time, why a person would be an apicurus. Why a person would be an apicurus if he believed in Hillel's statement that Mashiach is not coming anymore. Okay? And why Hillel wasn't considered an apicurus. Okay? Everybody's lost trouble with that. It's no big mystery. The answer is very simple. That Hillel was a big Talmud Chacham, and this is the way, and he was convinced that Mashiach came already in time of Chizkiyahu because of his own personal analysis. Okay? But he had reasons. All right? But a person today that maintains that way, it's not because he understands Hillel's view. It simply wants to deny that Mashiach is going, because all the Chachmei Yisrael disagree with him. So why do you accept his position? So the answer is, you simply want to deny that this is such a Mashiach, then you're an apicurus. Okay? You understand what I'm saying? No, but the people that made these statements were great Chachamim. But great Chacham could also be wrong, because human knowledge is fallible. Human knowledge is fallible. We don't. That's the Goyim, the Ovdei Avodah Zarah. The church always tries to make themselves infallible. Yadus, we never say such a thing. Where do you find that? What did Rava say? Rava, he's bigger than a Bayan Rava. Rava said that if you find my psak difficult, come to me, and if I can explain it to you, so then follow what I say, and if I can't, so then I retract. Okay, he says, and if after I'm dead you find something I said I paskin. So he says, don't tear it up and don't follow it. Don't tear it up, because maybe if I were there, I can give you an answer. And he says, and don't follow it, because ain't a dying elamash, ain't a verse. Okay? That's irrational. That's chachma. That's the Gemara, Bav Basra. Okay? I think it's kuflam rambay. But that's the Gemara. That's a system of chachma. Rashi and Chulin write, he made a mistake. Taisi, Paskin wrong. He writes himself, he made a big mistake. The Rambam, when they asked him one of the Ravitz caches, he said he made a mistake. No, Chassitz, I think it is. The Ravitz was right. Made a mistake. We don't believe in this. This itself is rooted in the primitive Avodah Zarah principle. That you're looking for people that are infallible to believe in. That's not what Yadus is all about. Yadus is about belief in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Not belief in individuals, okay? The only thing that we do believe in is that the system of the Masorah, the system of Chachmei Yisrael is correct. There's no mistake. The system of the Masorah of how to learn Torah, how to understand Torah, and the Yamkus and the ideas, you may have a mistake, Avni is wrong, but it's an idea, it's a concept, the approach is there. The approach, there's no mistake in. The Balei Masorah guarded the system and the approach and the Derech of Chachmah. That's what we have. Can we say a specific statement? Is this statement is true? You don't know. I mean, how do we know? Not only don't we know through the void, even if a Navi were here, we couldn't believe him. Because you can't accept a Navi when it comes to these areas. As Yeshua ben Nun said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it lost all these halachas after Moshe Rabbeinu died. So what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu say to Yeshua ben Nun? To give them to you again, Efsha. That's it. I can't do it. That's it. It was given once. Not going to be given again. And I cannot give you the nevuah, those halachas that you lost. It's too late. Okay? That's the way the system was constructed. But now, what did Yeshua ben Nun have? A derech of chachma. So Othniel ben Kenaz was a great thinker, and he brought back many, many of those halachas just from rational proofs. Okay? That's the Masorah that we believe in. It's a different kind of Masorah. People who are tempted by these other beliefs really lack in the whole concept of the Emunah and the Yesod Yadus. All right, and I want to show you a Gemara in Avodah Zarah. But the Gemara is a very simple Gemara. The Gemara says, the Chesem and Alfin Avodah Zarah, Gemara says, Elohein Eidehen Shel Ovdei Kachovim, Klando Satra Nuro, Kartisim, Yom Genus Yishal Malchayim, Yom Aled, okay. So it gives these dates that the Ovdei Avodah Zarah, the holidays they believe in. So it kind of tells us. So it was 8 days, it comes out that the holiday was like today, like 8 days before the Tkufa, around December 25th, around there, okay? Same kind of stuff, because the Christians weren't the ones that invented that, the ones that invented that were the pagans. But the Christians took over the pagan holiday because they always try to win over the pagans, so they try to keep their holidays. But the tree was an old pagan thing, The gods used to put presents on the trees. An old pagan thing goes back to that century. The Christians, wherever they went to, they took the pagan holidays and they tried to crystallize it. But anyways, what happened was that Chazal say, strangely enough, that Adam Arishon had a holiday at the same time. Tana Rabbana. Okay. Lefisha ro Adam Arishon yom shemismayit v'holech. Adam Arishon saw the days are getting smaller and smaller, less and less sunlight. Ama oili shema b'shvil shesarachti olam choshech badei v'chozo tov avo v'zuhi misa shenitnes olam en ha-shamayim. So he says that this is, maybe this was the misa that God told me about, that I'm going to die because the sun's light is going to cease, and he knew that without the sunlight the planet can't exist, and what's going to happen is everything's going to be returned to Tov V'Lo. Okay, so he says Amad V'Yashav Ches Yomim B'Tainis. So he fasted for 8 days U'B'Tfila Kivan Shero Tchufas Teves. Then he saw that the sun, the days are getting longer. V'ro Yom Shemarech V'Holech Amar. What did he say? Min Hogo Shel Olam Hu. This is Min Hogo Shel Olam. Holach v'osa shmona yomim tovim. So then he made eight yomim tovim in celebration of his discovery in Chazdei Hashem. And it says, l'shona acheres ason leila v'leila yomim tovim. So he made two, so he had 8 days before the tkufa and 8 days after the tkufa. So it says, hu kovam l'shem shamayim v'heim kovam l'shem avodas kohavim. So he was Kavei L'Shem Shamayim, and they were Kavei L'Shem Avodas Kochavim. So you understand, the holiday that the Christians have around December, where does it come from? It comes from really the pagan belief in the sun god. So the sun god is failing, and then they see around December 25th, it's Gidalei together, so they made a big party that the sun god is returning. Okay? That's basically what it was. Okay? Worship of the L'Shem Shamayim L'Kochavim. So, the Christians took that as the holiday. So what does Chazal say? That Adam Rishon also was in this dilemma, but first he thought it was an onesh that was nitnas olav min ha-shamayim, and there's an interesting Rivoya, by the way. The Rivoya Stakasha, I'll just quote. The Rivoya Stakasha, he says, how is it possible that Adam Rishon, who was a chacham like a malach alakim, how could he make such a mistake? Alright? So the Ritva says there is moe chachma kamalach alakim. How can you make such a mistake like this? All right. So what is it? So the Ritva says now maybe because he was thrown out of Gan Eden it was nitra for daito. Okay. I want to explain what the Ritva means. Because guess question on the Ritva. What do you mean a mistake? He didn't know. He wasn't born with knowledge of astronomy. Okay. So what's the Ritva's kasha? He saw it's getting. He thought that this is what. The answer is Zvah held that he should have seen immediately it's a law of nature, and he should have been able to deduce from the fact that it is that the way it's working with a system here, and he shouldn't have jumped to the conclusion that this is the Misa Nikasov Love and Shemayim. Okay? So that's what Zvah says, that it was Nitrafadaita. A person could be a calm thinker about things if he's emotionally in a calm state. But Adam Arishon, when he was thrown out of Gan Eden, so he was emotionally upset. So therefore, this idea was plaguing him, that maybe it's the Misa, that's the Nitnas Olav and Hashamayim. But then when he saw that it's wrong, he was able to relax, he saw the days are getting longer, he saw the objective phenomena, then he realized, then he says, I made a mistake, this is, I should have seen right away, this is Minigolamuza, okay? Minigolamuza. What do you see from the Gemara from Chazal? You see from Chazal that you never say, you never attribute to Hashgacha. You never attribute to Hashgacha what is Minig Olam. Okay? Minig Olam comes first. That's what the Gemara says. Can you say it in plainer words? That the Minig Olam comes, if you have an explanation, like for instance, there are people I am given to understand that still believe that when you see an eclipse, that it's a bad sign. Okay? Because there is a memra that states that it's a bad sign. Like here's on the us. I believe it's in the Pirkei Rabbah. Okay, so the so people today say that's a bad sign. That's against Chazal. Chazal say when you understand that it's minig ha'olam, it's a natural phenomena, you don't say it's hashgacha, but you recognize the natural law. That's what Adam Arishon did. That's what Chazal say. But Chazal is saying even more than that. If you look closely at Chazal, it says who kivan l'shem shemayim. What does it mean? What is Avodah Zarah? Avodah Zarah is denial of the natural law. That's precisely what Avodah Zarah is. You understand? He said Minhag Olam Uzeh. He wasn't an Avodah. They couldn't say Minhag Olam. They attributed it to some kind of deity, some kind of power, some kind of mystical force, you see. That was Avodah Zarah. In other words, the root of Avodah Zarah is a denial of Minhag Olam, is a denial of the natural law. That's what the Gemara is saying, basically. If they would accept Minhag Olam, they wouldn't be able to Avodah Zarah. Okay? So you see that this leads us to an important yisod in Yadus. What is the, and it's the parashas drachim between the Ovid of Avodah Zarah and between the Maimon Batar. And that is that to us, we see God, we see the Creator from behind the natural law. The natural law, on the contrary, is a source of showing us Hashemayim Esapim Kol Kel, a source demonstration of the Borei Olam. Okay, to the primitive, to the Ovid of Avodah Zarah, has no use for the natural law. His God is not the God behind the natural law. He's not interested in that. He cannot see HaKadosh Baruch Hu from the Chukos Shemayim Varetz. He can't see Hashemayim Esapim Kol Kel. He's not interested. What is he interested in? He's interested in himself. His own fears. He wants to remove his fears. He's interested in his self-preservation. He's interested in his own health. He's interested in the health of his family. He's interested in prosperity. He's interested in his own security. He is completely involved in the self. And the only thing that the idea of a deity has for him is to cater to those needs. There is no objective realization outside of that. And Yadus, exactly the opposite. Exactly the opposite. Now we see, on the contrary, we don't see God through Nisim. You see God through Nisim, so then it means that all the people, like Rav says, is that the case? So then all the generations know Nisim, so we'll have no Shasta Kodesh Baruch Hu. The whole Torah is to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu constantly, through Barchi Nafshi, through seeing the greatness of the Morab Masechet Hashem, Kulam B'Chachma Asisa, all the Psukim in the Torah. Teach us one thing, and that is that the Borei Bereishis Borei Kenes Shemayim Varetz. Why does it start with Bereishis Shemayim Varetz? Okay, there's drushes, but the plain shot is because that is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's the one behind the entire universe and all the natural law. So that's what Adam Rishon said. Minhago Shel Olam Huzeh. A denial of the natural law is a denial of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Avraham Avinu didn't see HaKadosh Baruch Hu through Nisan. He saw HaKadosh Baruch Hu through the natural law. Only later was Hashgacha, but his discovery of God had nothing to do with the Hashgacha. Nothing to do with Hashgacha Pratius. Okay, which we believe in. But you have to know where to apply it and where to believe in it. Okay? And you don't believe when it's Minhago Shalom, you don't say it's Hashgacha Pratius. Okay? That borders on an idolatrous kind of emotion. Alright? Like the Gemara says, they can't misspell Zachan Akeva once the woman's pregnant already. That's it. It's too late. But this is an important yisod. In the Rambam, the first parak in the Rambam, the Hilchas Yisod Yatoru Yisodas, the Amar Chachmas is what is the whole parak is not Hashgacha Pratius. It's Hashgacha Klolius. It's the natural law. He talks about the natural law there. And same thing in the second part. Avas Hashem has nothing to do with Hashgacha Pratius. Nothing. Okay? So you see the Yesod HaDas, the Yesod HaMuna. Yevim talk about it. Chukos Shemayim Vos. Su'anechamaru. Su'anechamaru mi bara'ela. And a mamotzi b'mispar tzeva'am. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows the infinite amount of stars in the universe. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows each one, each one's designation, each one's role, in the precise role in the picture of the universe that's exact. There's a precise number of stars, precise amount of matter. Every bit of matter is known to God, and He knows why it has to exist and in what way it will be affected, the universe will be affected. If one thing changed, that's the puzzle. I'm not even misquoted from. He knows the chulam shemos yikra. Chulam means every single piece of matter. Hashem Baruch Hu knows exactly why that piece of matter has to exist and how the universe would be changed if it did not exist. That's what the pasuk says. So to us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Borei Olam, is behind the entire scene of the Chochmah of the universe. That's the Yisod HaDas. If you're at Yisod HaYisod, it's Ramah HaChochmahs. And that's the Yisod of Adam HaRishon, Minag HaOlam. If you deny that, you're an Oved Avodah Zarah. So catering to primitive emotions and saying that eclipses are bad signs from God, I mean, this is a primitive thing. Once a person knows that the eclipses are natural law, it's against the Gemara, it's against Chazal, it's against the whole Yisod HaDas. And this, I don't care, Kabbalists, no Kabbalists. No one, there are no two views. That's what I'm trying to say. There are no two views anymore today with regard to any of the phenomena that we see, basically, because science has advanced to the point where we know what certain things are, and that's it. If you deny that, you're just denying, you're denying Chachma. Denying Chachma is denying Torah. Okay? when a person says Ramban in a different system, yes, it's true. We don't know what that system was. We do not know, because Ramban says you can't know what it was. And you can be sure about one thing, though, that system was not based on any emotional type of proclivities or inclinations. It was based upon a system of Chachmah that he understood. Okay, which system is right? It's irrelevant, immaterial to us, because everyone agrees that the system of Chachmah definitely comes first, precedes these things. Even in terms of Ramban's own system, and there's nothing to think about in today's world that makes any difference. Okay?